Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast, where our mission is to help hosts share their space and live their dream. This episode is sponsored by our free Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist. Our comprehensive Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist will take the guesswork out of what you'll need to finally get your Airbnb off the ground. You'll have the confidence to do that thing you've always wanted to do. Get started today sharing your space and living your dream by visiting our website, thanksforvisiting.me, and that's for F-O-R, and signing up for your free Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist. Again, this is free, so hurry up and get your copy today. Now on to the episode.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Okay, before we jump into today's episode, we have to do our STR Share Sunday. Annette?
This is an exciting one. I actually met these STR Sunday spotlight hosts in person, and I was so excited.
Where did you meet them?
I met them at the Vrbo Summit, and let's talk about their space. It's on Instagram. They're at Cabana Carioca, and that is C-A-B-A-N-A-C-A-R-I-O-C-A. You guys, it's two sisters and a mom. It is Jen, Steph, and Maria, and they have amazing properties in Florida that their father, who unfortunately has passed away recently, but they are taking this on in his honor, and they are making all of his properties shine in the short-term rental market.
Yay. And they've got their own website, which is amazing. But it's great because some of their subject lines on their website are home, overview, map, gallery, rates, availability, reviews. Again, this is CabanaCariocaVacations.com. So they took it a step above and really gave their business their own place on the web, which is really great, you guys.
And we want to highlight them because, you guys, this is generations of a family doing this together. So talk about share your space, live your dream. It's amazing. I know the sisters are also wanting to quit their daytime jobs to do this full time in 2020. So give them some love, follow them on Instagram, heart their properties, and let's share their space.
Also, if you're not sure what the heck we're talking about, because maybe it's not Sunday when you're listening to this episode, we started a hashtag called the actual hashtag, STR Share Sunday. Remember, STR stands for short-term rental, which is what an Airbnb is. We want to highlight you because you come and listen to us every week. So this is our chance to give back. So make sure you use that hashtag on Instagram when you are shooting your spaces, and we will be sure to add you to the mix, and maybe we'll share your space on the podcast soon. Okay, let's get to that show.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to another great week here with us at Thanks for Visiting. I am Sarah Karakayan.
And I am Annette Grant. And together we are
Thanks for Visiting. So here at Thanks for Visiting, you know that our motto is to share your space, live your dream. And I don't think that is more true for today's guest. We have Danny Rustine on the show. And I'm going to let Danny dive into who he is and his journey. But I just want to intro it with, he is a prior Airbnb employee, and I feel like that job really opened a ton of doors for him, maybe not in the conventional way, but yeah, Danny, welcome to our show.
Thanks so much, Sarah and Annette. I'm glad to be here.
Quick question. Tell our listeners where you are recording from today. I think that's very interesting.
Today, I'm sitting in an Airbnb listing in Medellin, Colombia, and it's almost my 1,000th night as an Airbnb guest.
Is that consecutively 1,000 nights in Airbnb?
No, because I visit my family in California and my parents were so gracious to let me sleep in their house.
Well, you should make their house a listing so you could, you know, pay them and give them good reviews.
Trust me, I'm trying. They have a whole downstairs basement area, but it's not kind of a half basement, and it's got a living room, a kitchen. It's like perfect Airbnb, separate entrance, but I haven't been able to yet.
Okay, maybe Sarah and I can push them over the edge.
I'll share this episode with them.
All right, Danny. Yeah, if you can just jump in and share with our listeners your story and start at right before you started working at Airbnb and then that journey through your employment with them and then what happened after.
Okay. So come back with me to December 2012. And we're in San Francisco. We're in my kitchen and I'm unemployed at the time. I quit my accounting job, public accounting company, and I'm looking for a new job. My roommate at the time mentions this company called Airbnb, and I'm currently looking for jobs. I have a list of companies, 50 companies, and so I ask him, what is it? And he tells me kind of the premise of it. At the time, it was very basic. It was like, you know, you sleep in someone else's house. And but that's all he had to say to me. It kind of clicked. You know, when you travel, you sleep in someone else's house. Oh, instead of, I had traveled, you know, the previous 6 months to, or 6 months ago at the time to like Puerto Rico. And I stayed in a hotel and it was okay. I went with my girlfriend at the time. And I always remember thinking like, or I always wanted to go off the beaten path and explore like the less known parts of the neighborhood, interact with the locals, etc. So when he said it, immediately clicked with who I was already. So I applied to Airbnb in the accounting department and they gave me an interview. They gave me one interview at the time and they said, thanks, but no thanks at this time. But as soon as I walked in, I knew it was such a different atmosphere. The accounting team, they were more my people. The accounting team was more like my type of people. The atmosphere was cool. I remember it was a Thursday and somebody, they were all wearing like casual clothes and they were asking people if they want like more beer. It was free beer at the time. There was dogs running around. There was like comfortable chairs. I say that because in my public accounting days, it's not a very respected profession and they put you in like janitor's closets. Well, not joking, actually in janitor's closets outside the company in the hallway with whatever chairs they had available. So this was a very different experience for me. And I knew right away that I wanted to work at Airbnb. They said no at this time, but I stayed in touch with my recruiter. And 3 or 4 months later, another position opened up in the same department. I interviewed and over the process of, it must've been like 2 or 3 weeks, I had a job at the time and I kept on thinking, because Airbnb, I think I had 18 interviews over like 3 or 4 separate days, plus like an offsite happy hour. I must have told my prior employer, they must think all my teeth are falling out because there's only so many cavities you can have. So I start working in July of 2013 and it was fantastic. It was, I actually, in my book, I wrote up a pretty detailed section about my time as an Airbnb employee, what it was like, the team meetings on Fridays, for the whole company-wide team meetings on Fridays, how the whole company seemed to celebrate everyone's birthday, how on the new hire intros, I was part of a class of 11, which was a lot at the time, the Brian Chesky would interview each one of the new employees. And so 2 years went by. I loved the company. I loved my team, but I still was in accounting, which I did not love, far, far from it. And so after about 2 years, Airbnb and me went our separate ways. They actually fired me. There's a few phases to getting fired. I've been fired twice. So
I've been there too.
Yeah. The first phase is when it feels bad. Your boss brings you in and says you're a shitty employee. And then you try and fight. So at that time I felt bad. I was like, oh my God, people hate me. My boss hates me. This sucks. So for the next few weeks, I stayed at work till like 8 p.m. Usually it was like 6 or 7. I stayed till 8 or 8:30. And I tried to be the best employee I could. But at the end of the day, I don't like accounting. I didn't like it at all. So when the day finally came, and I knew they were gracious enough to give me a few weeks notice. When I knew I was leaving, I walked out on a Monday afternoon, walked out of the doors, and it was a sunny day, or at least it was sunny in my memory. And I remember feeling so free. It was a really good feeling. It was that feeling after, if you can remember back in college, when you have that finals week, and after that last final, you have no job, you have no commitments, you have nothing. You feel fully free. That was the feeling I had.
I can relate. The last job I got fired from, I went immediately to my car, FaceTimed my friends, and screamed, "I got bleep effing fired!" And I was so pumped, like screaming joy. It was kind of interesting, to say the least, so that I felt that same exact way that you did.
Yeah.
So did you have any plans?
So while I felt free, I also was scared shitless.
Yeah, I left that out of my story.
Yeah. Because I knew while I've always been good with money and I've always been a saver, that part didn't scare me. I had a savings fund, but I'm an accountant. I'm a CPA. I went to school for this. I took 4 tests to be a CPA. This is a respected job, and society says it's a respected job, but I knew it just wasn't for me. So I was at a crossroads if I should continue with accounting or should I do something else. And I kind of knew it was time. The first job I had to convince myself to do accounting again, I said, I'll go to a better company. Maybe it's the company. So I went to a private company. And then the next job, Airbnb, I said, okay, for my second job, I still didn't like it. Airbnb was my third job. So I said, okay, well, now I like the company and the team. Maybe it's the team. So Airbnb had a good team. But no, all along, it was just the work. I finally figured that out. Someone had to fire me to really help me figure that out. So I was going to go in a totally different direction. And it turned out that the months leading up to me getting fired, there was an internal promotion at Airbnb for all the employees, only for the employees. And it went like this. If you can refer a host in San Francisco, or any host, I think it was, but we lived in San Francisco. So it was, if you could refer a host, get them started on Airbnb, you'll get $500 Airbnb credit, and so will they. So this was when I was working at Airbnb. I was an Airbnb host as well. And whenever there was anything to do with non-accounting, testing the product, I would always volunteer. So this came up, and for me, $500, that was plenty to get, noticed, to get my attention. Additionally, Airbnb would recognize employees on stage publicly for different things, usually work related. I knew I would never get on stage for something work related. So I thought this was, they also said, you know, the winner will, you know, get this extra thing, which I thought would probably be like a shout out on stage. So this was enough for me to be like, all right, I'm going to, you know, get my face out there. I'm going to make a bunch of money. So I did that. And I did. I did that for the next few months. I did some interesting creative things, and I came away. I referred 36 hosts. That was about $15,000 Airbnb credit.
Wow.
Yeah. I walked out with $15,000 Airbnb credit. The next best person had 12 referrals in the marketing, business development department. So a few people took note of this, because why is a person in accounting, a bean counter, as we're called, what the hell happens? And so I got hired back from Airbnb a couple weeks later in a temporary capacity in a kind of a marketing type role where I referred hosts. And over the next 6 months, I would be in the office once or twice a week, really confused people. And I also I was number one in that team as well. I got the most percentage of hosts signed up. Those hosts made the most money. So it was clear to me where I wanted to go. And that was to an Airbnb property management company who I connected with through this promotion. So I worked with them for a year. And again, I felt I was working from home. I felt like I was doing more business development. I was getting deals with laundromats. I was hiring a team around me. I totally redid the website. I set up custom pricing on listings. This is when I started tweaking listing titles and whatnot, and because my salary, my bonus was based on how well the company did. So I realized, okay, well, if I can fix these crappy listings, I get more money. So I started testing. I tested titles and photos and whatnot. And I noticed that oftentimes I would change something, and after not getting a booking for weeks, it would get a booking, and like sometimes within like an hour, but other times within a day. And I noticed the pattern. And so a year went by with that company, and that the owner, she fired me. And this is when this is phase one of my new life. This was July 2016. And I started a company that's still around now. It's called BaloPM.com, Balo Property Management. And I wanted to be an Airbnb property manager. I quickly realized I didn't want to be an Airbnb property manager, because when you're an Airbnb property manager, you got to deal with a lot of people with problems. You know, the owners, the hosts, the guests, the cleaning team, the maintenance folks, Airbnb. So
yeah, it's a lot of work.
It's my dream job. That's what I do, because I'm a crazy lady. But I hear you.
Yeah, you guys are doing property management, big time property management.
Well, Sarah here. I call it boutique. So I'm incredibly strategic selective. And selective on who I work with. But I come from a hotel background, and I love hotel management. So I'm a weirdo.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, and that's actually the key, I realized. So I still do Airbnb property management fully remote, but I get a lot of inquiries in, because actually I'm not really sure why, but I get a bunch of inquiries in. Because I don't work on the website. It's a nice website, but I haven't touched it in 3 years. And so I refer 99% of the inquiries to people that I know in the area. And I just take the very best, which is fantastic.
Oh yeah, that's a good system.
That's my system too. Yeah. It's a good one.
And then this is when I create, at the time it was AirbnbListingAnalysis.com. And you could buy a report there. It was for $100, but it was really for $1 because I had a sale for $99 off. But no one bought that. Not a single person.
Really? That's crazy. Okay.
Well, I had no traffic. It was just Yeah, it was just a website. No one, no blogs really. So the first person that actually helped me get my first sales was AirbnbGuide.com.
Oh, okay. We're taking notes. These will be in the show notes, by the way.
And it was amazing, because now we're in August 2016 and I run this promotion. So I'm fortunate enough to have worked at Airbnb, and that gets people's attention. So in the early days, I would just say, even though really working at Airbnb matters little with what I do, it gives people comfort and it's great for marketing. And I realized that very early on.
Oh, you got street cred. Yeah. Exactly. Big time street cred.
Exactly. So I would, in all my emails, I'd put in, you know, prior Airbnb employee, blah, blah, blah. And I would get a high response rate. So he ran a promotion and I got like two or three people to buy a report for me at the time. And I was amazed that strangers sent me this random dude money online for a promise. And the first report I did, which was prior to Airbnb guide, I sold it for $5 and I spent 45 minutes on it. This was like June or May 2016. Since then, it's transformed a lot, but I've also transformed a lot. A few months nowadays, I'm speaking to you from an Airbnb in Medellin, Colombia. I've visited 34 countries on Airbnb. I live in the early days for some marketing. I think Brian Chesky actually lived exclusively in Airbnbs, and That is what I'm doing now. I'm a minimalist. I have a backpack and a carry-on luggage, and I travel the world usually by the month. I'll go to a different country every month doing some Airbnb property management. I wrote a book early last year that has exceeded my expectations far and away, but I spent a lot of time on it. I was very confident that it was the best book out, and it still is, in my opinion. Well, it is the best book out based on the reviews. The best book, the most highlighted.
Is the $15,000 credit been exhausted by now?
Yeah, well, it had a 1 year expiration date, so you can be sure that I spent every last penny.
Nice. Okay. Just checking. I didn't want that to go to waste.
So Danny, I've read the book. It's in listeners. It's very good. And so now you can find it on Amazon. Is that correct, Danny?
Yeah. You can find it anywhere. Anywhere, any country you're in, the biggest online retailer, it's going to be there.
Amazing. And so it's called Optimize My B&B, correct?
No, the book is called, it's a do-it-yourself book, so it's called Optimize Your Airbnb.
Got it. Okay. Optimize Your Airbnb. Listeners, we'll put that in the show notes too for Danny. Danny, if we can give our listeners like a highlight, like maybe like two things, like give away two things the book shares, and then we'll maybe leave a teaser so that our listeners can run out and buy it.
Okay.
Yeah, like what can our listeners... Once this episode is over, what can they go do to their listing today to make the changes?
Okay, the first thing is I've been on a mission for the past 4 months to basically mention what I'm about to mention in every interview, as often as I can, because it's free, number one, and number two, it's so helpful to the guest, and it's even more helpful to the host. It's called the Digital Guidebook. And the people that I recommend is Hostfully. There's a few other folks out there. Hostfully gives the first one away for free. I'm writing an article right now about what to put in your guidebook, because a lot of people are too wordy with the information they put in there. And it helps the guests. Like, for example, I'm in the Airbnb now, and I don't know where to empty my trash. There's no trash chute. There's nowhere to put the trash. And I have to ask my guest this. This is a very, I have to ask my hostess. This is a very common question I have to ask the host almost every time I check into an Airbnb. And so the guidebook solves that problem. I also have questions about how the surround sound works here. I've asked the host. Now the host is going to send someone today to fix it. They could have just taken some pictures in the guidebook and put it there. They got three remotes for their TV. I took 10 minutes to try and figure it out. I couldn't. I asked them. That could be in the guidebook. Another big one is, I always ask, can I drink the water out here? Put it in the guidebook. How to work anything, how to work the washer and dryer. If you're in a country where you don't speak the language, the washer becomes a really complex thing. All of these things can be, any question, common question the guests have can be answered in the guidebook. That way the guest doesn't have to message you. They don't have to wait for your reply. They don't have to wait for someone to come here. They can usually figure it out for themselves. And it saves you time, the host, and it lets the guests know that you know what you're doing.
And just real quick for our listeners, Danny, because a lot of our listeners have been listening to us from day one. We call it the welcome book, but the guidebook. Yes, anything that, and I love how you said that. It's yes, it saves us time, and I have to be on the app less or on the phone less with my guests. And that's not like I don't want to communicate with them. I'm actually anticipating their needs. I'm anticipating the fact that they may have difficulty with the TV. I'm anticipating they're going to want to throw their trash out. So it's a win-win. It's a great tip. And it's so funny how many people don't think about it and don't do it.
Yeah. 99.9% of hosts don't do this, because that's based on my experience. I've never once had a digital guidebook. Sometimes I have printed out guidebooks, but those are harder to edit for the host. But you're exactly right. I call it, you want to integrate your guest. Integrate your guest as quick as possible so they can have a good experience in your city.
Boom. Okay, that was amazing. Listeners, if you can't do the digital guidebook today,
at least do it. And mm-hmm. I also want to preach, maybe take it a step above getting a folder with some pockets and stuffing some menus in it. Maybe do something a little bit more. You can go to like Staples and get those clear booklet binders where you put printed sheets in them and then and then guests can leaf through it. I mean, even that is just a great way for them to get the information they need. And like Danny said, don't get too wordy. Do less work. Just get the information they need out there right away.
Yeah. And regarding recommendations, you definitely should do that. Everything from cafes, laundromats, parks, but don't overdo it. Give them the best two or three restaurants. If you did a good job, they're going to ask you for more. And if guests continually ask you for more recommendations, well, then you can add more recommendations to your guidebook. But I have some hosts in the last Airbnb, he provided some pamphlets, but it was like 25 local restaurants. Well, but he didn't say anything about anything, any of them. Instead, I would have preferred, tell me the best. Tell me the absolute best. Take my decision out of it. And then if that's really good, I'll probably ask you. Additionally, a guidebook is one of the only tools on Airbnb that really is set it and forget it. You make it and you really don't have to touch it again, except when you need to edit it in the future, which I do maybe once every 4 months.
So good. Okay, what's your second tip? And then we'll stop giving it away. Then they have to go buy the book.
The second tip, yeah. I think there's like, what are there, like 35 chapters? So there's 35 tips, but these are like, I can give them all away, but there are nuances to this. So even if I were to give them all away, you still should read the book. If you don't want to read the book, just go to my website and read the blog post, go to my YouTube. But the second tip I will say is, let's see, which one should I choose? I'm going to say it is responding to reviews.
Ooh, give it to us. I'm interested.
Do you girls respond to your reviews?
Every single one.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm gonna Sarah and I are very different, so I'm gonna say no. I don't know if I've ever responded to a
review. You've never responded to that, Grant? Oh my gosh. Okay, Danny, tell us your side.
Help me out here, Danny. I'm dying on the vine.
Here is mine. So by the way, I'll clarify that there's three levels of hosts. The first level of hosts is someone who doesn't really have it figured out. The amenities they have promised don't work. They just it's not a really good experience. The level two host is someone who all the amenities work and then plus some. Let's say they have an extra nice bed, or they've added like a really nice shower faucet or something like that. A level three host is someone who's added the surround sound, done the digital guidebook, really done, I call it surprise and delight. Like maybe your town is known for this baked bread, and they deliver you a baked bread. I stayed in an Airbnb Plus in Argentina, and I actually recorded a video and a live video of my time there. And as a test, I messaged the host with a request on Saturday night at like 11. And not only did they respond to me at like 11:05, but they brought me that item plus a local suite, a local really well-known suite, that next morning at like 11 a.m. And that was interesting because I had just come from Rio de Janeiro, which was my worst ever experience by far on Airbnb. And I also documented that up with the video too. That actually is my most popular video, I think. It went semi-viral. It got like 1,000 views.
Oh my God, I cannot wait to check it out now.
Yeah.
Can you give us a teaser about why we should watch that one?
Oh, yes. I can. So the teaser, oh man, there were so many things wrong. But for one, I'm a very communicative guest. I like to give the host tips. I try not to speak from, I know better than you, but I share with them my thoughts. But this host was missing a lot of things. And the first week I was making a lot of requests. And so I said to the host in the message, I said, hey, by the way, I realize I'm making a lot of requests. I still plan to give you a 5-star review. I'm not upset or anything, but these things I kind of would like. For example, the washer and the washer was not working, and it didn't work for 2 weeks. And so the host, what she did was she didn't respond to me. Instead, what she did was she called Airbnb and she said, "Hey, this guest is making way too many demands. Can you call the guest and tell him to stop?" So
what?
So Airbnb
she never responded to you?
If she did, it was something very curt and not helpful at all.
Okay, so Airbnb calls you.
So Airbnb calls me and says, hey, host says you're making a lot of demands. And I'm like, I was shocked. I was totally shocked. And I said, okay, I'll stop making demands. And at that point, your review is going to get hurt because you're a host who doesn't show any potential. You're not interested in improving. So I actually gave the host a two-star review.
Absolutely.
In 1,000 nights. The only other host I gave a 4-star review to, who almost killed me. It literally almost killed me on a dive experience that they
read. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. Danny, what is your life?
So I go into this video is much, it's entertainment, which I think is why kind of a lot of people like it. My other videos are very informative, but I go into it. I kind of get philosophical as to who I am and this issue, her calling Airbnb and having Airbnb call me affects me internally. It goes to my core. It's not the world I want to live in. And I kind of speak to that a little bit of why it's so wrong and why I'm so against that. And anyways, you should watch it for that. I hope it speaks to some people. Halfway through, I said, you know, you kind of forget about it. It was a month long visit. Halfway through the stay, I was thinking, okay, you know, I kind of forgot about the washer and dryer. She fixed it. The host isn't so bad. This property isn't so bad. But then something else happened. Something else happened to remind me, oh yeah, this is a really crappy host who has no interest in improving. And so that'll be the cliffhanger. If you want to find out what the second thing that happened was, you have to watch the video.
So good. Okay, so let's get back to that. To the second tip reviews of the book. Oh, the reviews. Yeah, so I'm crazy lady. I respond to every review. Annette, it wasn't, you know, something that she did. So should we do it? Should we not do it? What's your thoughts on it?
You 100% need to do it. This is when I mentioned the level three, the different levels hosts. This would be like level three. You've already figured out most things. You're thinking, how can I further differentiate myself? And so my strategy with responding to reviews is I respond to two of every three reviews, something like that, because a lot of, if a guest reviews you and just says something really short, I don't respond to that. The responses really come in handy when the reviews are really long and positive, and the guest, they would have to click on a read more button to read the whole review. And we know they're not doing that because they're not reading your listing, which says, you know, there's no balcony and they're asking you if there's a balcony.
Exactly.
So what you can do instead, what I do instead is I create a Cliff Notes version. I just pull out one fact that I want the future potential guest, the FPG, I call them, to know. And I highlight that in the response. Sometimes I quote it, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I let them know, you know, I'm glad you enjoyed the chef's kitchen or the sauna or the heated floors. So the guest has a little Cliff Notes version. They don't have to read the review, but if they missed it somewhere else, which they might have, responding to reviews is pretty uncommon, so it grabs their attention a little bit more. There's a few other generic responses that I might do if I haven't responded to a review in a while. I'll say hey, if someone says, hey, I'll definitely coming back, I'll say, hey, be sure to click the heart in the upper right corner, save my listing so you can find it easily next time.
Ooh, good one.
And this is one of the only things that Airbnb has said increases your search rank, getting more saves to your listing. So it's worth it just to get, they never said obviously how much, but it's worth it to get a few extras for sure. And after that, you can, when you get a really positive review and you respond to it, you can actually screenshot that review and put it in your photos. And then in the description, because there's a lot of new guests every day, a lot of new guests, you know that, and your listeners do too. How many guest inquiries do you get from guests who have zero reviews, one review, two reviews? Most of them. So I screenshot a review, I clean it up a little bit, and I put it as my fifth or sixth photo, and then in the caption, I direct them down to see my other 5-star reviews. I have a video on that on YouTube on how to do that, how to screenshot and how to make the image look a little bit nicer and that your audience can have a look at.
Awesome.
Amazing. What if you're listening, you probably won't have this problem, but what if, you know, you get a negative review or something with constructive criticism? I think those are probably the most important ones to respond to. Cause for me, when I'm shopping for anything, a product, a place to stay, a company, and I see how the company responds to a negative or constructive criticism. And sometimes for me, that's like, okay, I know that person had this type of experience, but because the company answered in this way, I feel more comfortable engaging in a relationship with them.
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't mention that. It must be so long since I got a negative review. I forgot about that.
Same, Danny, same.
So that's a good point. That's a very good point. When you get a negative review, the whole reason why we respond to positive reviews actually is because when you get a negative review, you can and need to respond to that without calling added attention to that negative review. All the guests are really doing is scanning for negative reviews anyways. They're scanning the first couple words to see, is it positive or negative? So if it's a negative review, there's a few strategies on this. Actually, I have a blog post up and it identifies in what situation you can actually ignore the negative review and in what situation you can respond and how to respond. At the end of my blog post, I have a game and I have three reviews. After you read my strategies, I have three reviews in order of difficulty and I say, how would you respond to it? And then I give you my answer. And it depends, it really depends on negative reviews, but the overall strategy is you don't respond at length. You keep it very short. If it's something fixable, then you tell them how you fixed it. Yeah, those are the two things. There's sometimes you can actually ignore it. If it's fixable, you say how it was fixed. Internet speed was really, really slow. Okay, we updated it to 20 megabytes per second. You know, the shower water was cold. Yeah, that we got a new heater or whatever. That was a one-time thing that was resolved.
I kind of love it when some guests will say, you know, the neighborhood was residential, and that's frustrating sometimes because a lot of our hosts will say exactly what the neighborhood is like, what to expect when you arrive in the listing. And so sometimes I'll respond with, absolutely, we're in a residential setting. There is a Starbucks, you know, a 5-minute walk away. Just reminding them that information is in the listing in a nice way. You have to be very, I think, creative with that response.
That's a fantastic way to respond. Yeah, because that's not really a negative review. You don't want guests who don't want residential. So you should say, yeah, thanks for confirming. This is
right.
I was going to say mine. I have an opposite one. I host a listing in the Bronx. And every now and then, maybe one in every 10 folks will say, I've been there. This is one of the listings I've actually been at. It's not a bad neighborhood, but if you live in like a really well-off neighborhood and you don't see poor people on the street and you only see like Mercedes-Benz cars, well, then you probably get a little freaked out, but there's been no incidents ever and it is a safe neighborhood. Every now and then someone will say, you know, it's not really a safe neighborhood. And I'll just say that I forget exactly what I said. I have it typed up, but I say there's, you know, basically it's a family neighborhood. There's been no issues. It's next to, you know, this park and whatnot. I say different things, but in that case, I want to let the future potential guests know that, well, it's not an unsafe neighborhood.
Right. You know, my first listing was in New York City in Queens. So I understand that. And actually people will say it's noisy, you know, outside. It's like, well, yeah, yes, it's in New York City, yeah. But you can't say it like that. You have to put your host voice on when you're responding, but no, yeah. I hear you loud and clear. And it's really great feedback. Okay, Danny, what's next on your journey then? So you worked at Airbnb, you discovered this new life, you are really great at getting hosts to jump on board and discover what it means to be a host. You wrote a book on how to do it. Now what?
now what? I'm definitely continuing with all that. I've focused a little bit more on YouTube. I make YouTube videos now. I do a 5-minute Airbnb quick tip once a week. And for those folks who like to consume video content better. And another thing I've done, more of a passion personal project, is I started my personal brand, which is called, it's www.dannyboo-boo.com. And what it
okay,
is,
tell us more. Is like, should do we need to be like, make sure like we're not around our boss when we look at the site?
No, it is a family friendly website.
Okay.
What it really is is a blog, but that's the main page. I've written 22 blogs or so, just about lifestyle, different things that I'm interested in: weightlifting, dating, travel, fitness. I wrote one article about my strategy on getting good deals and how to find Airbnbs. So this is the first ever article I've written for the Airbnb guest. And then I have a page on there about, I'm a big reader and writer, so I have a page dedicated to all the books that I've ever read, my all-time favorites, and then I have a few that are like ones that I hated. And then I have on every city that I live in for at least 7 days, I have a page where I just write some notes, my observations about the city, and I keep track of prices, different prices of different things that I buy, you know, some fruits, some veggies, some meats, how much is a bottle of wine, how much is a gym membership, etc.
So more focused on the traveler than that specific part of your new venture, your new blog.
Yeah, that's definitely personal life traveler type stuff.
Okay, Danny, you've been all over the world and you see a ton of Airbnbs. What is your favorite city to travel to?
Oh, my favorite city in the whole wide world.
Yes.
Well, you're probably not surprised when I say that's really a difficult question to answer. But I'm going to, if I had to narrow it down to one city, I would say it was Almaty, Kazakhstan.
What? Okay, tell us a little bit more.
Almaty, Kazakhstan, you know, my expectations, when you go to a city, your expectations, you usually have some kind of expectations, right? Just like when you go to an Airbnb, you've seen the photos, you've read ideally the listing, and you have some kind of an expectation. When I went to Kazakhstan, I had no expectation. I didn't know what to expect, none at all. And I go to this country and it seems so foreign to me that here's my first experiences in Kazakhstan. I get to the airport and the driver, I'm learning Russian, so I know very little Russian. And the driver, though, you could just tell he's emitting warmth and friendliness. And, before that, you know, when you go into a new country and what are the folks called when they're checking your passport before you go in?
Like the customs?
Customs, oh, yeah. So, you know, those folks, they're not really friendly. They kind of have a neutral or mean look on their face, right?
Yes.
So I go to customs in Kazakhstan and this guy stamps my passport and he exclaims, "Welcome to Kazakhstan." And I'm like, whoa, crazy. Thanks, man. And I get into my cab and he drops me off and he says something else to the effect of, you know, "Welcome to Kazakhstan." And I'm like, holy cow, you know, and this was a regular taxi as well, which, you know, they're kind of have similar attitudes as the custom folks. So my first two experiences are like, whoa, this is a good vibes. And then my next experience, so I'm coming from India. If your listeners have been to India, I need to say no more, but most of you haven't because it has some of the lowest tourism in the world. India, just one aspect of India, the cars, not only do they not stop for you, this is not an exaggeration, but they actually kind of try and hit you. So
this sounds like New York too, though. Okay.
Yeah, India is to a whole new level. I've been to New York.
Okay.
So I get to Kazakhstan and I have to cross the road to get to my Airbnb and I stop. And not only do the cars stop for me, it's a four-lane road, but they almost like kind of slam on the brakes and stop for me. And I have to look to my left and right. I'm like, are they stopping for me? Or so I make my way through and all four lanes of traffic stop for me. I get to the other side of the street. I'm so in shock because I was in Asia for the last 6 months, in addition to India, and none of the cars there stop for you. You kind of have to dodge them. India is just to another level. And there's a girl walking down the street, and I figure I'm just going to ask her. I'm like, is this normal? Or do they see, you know, I know there's not a lot of tourists here. Do they see like a guy with a beard and they're all like surprised? And so the girl who stops and talks to me, she's also very friendly. She's very friendly. And we have a chat and we exchange contact information. And we become friends actually for my month there. First friend I make in the country, and you know, within 45 minutes of landing in the country. And then just continuing going on, basically all of my micro experiences, I call them. That's, you know, you have 1,000 micro experiences in a country when you're there for a month. And if the majority of them are good, then you probably like the country. If the majority of them are bad, you probably don't. The vast, vast, vast majority of my micro experiences for the whole month were super positive. I made a bunch of friends. The city was so clean and organized. I was so surprised. Now, I think if you went outside, it would have been less. But the city that I experienced, which was, I did explore a little bit, it was so nice. It was, and the air was fresh in Asia. The air isn't so fresh. Now, Kazakhstan is in Asia, but I just came from Asia. The air was fresh. The water is fresh. The people were friendly. The girls were attractive. There was a good cafe scene. There was even there was a Latin dance culture, which I danced some salsa and bachata. So that was kind of a unique thing to see. And I could go on, but it was mostly a surprise. A surprise trip, and I'm looking forward to going back there again when it warms up next year.
All right, and then maybe we need to go there for our sponsored sleepover for our next one.
Well, most of your listeners are hosts, I assume, right?
Yes, or wannabe hosts, yeah.
Or wannabe, okay, great.
Soon to be hosts,
yeah. Oh, well, as that goes, I just wrote a 6-part series about for these, all of my articles except this are for existing hosts and kind of those level 2, level 3 hosts. I just wrote a 6-part series about for people who are thinking about hosts. The first is, should you be an Airbnb host? Not everyone's cut out for it. And I kind
Amen.
Of...
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So that's that. But the other thing I wanted to say is I wanted to applaud your hosts because the more that I host and I travel as a guest, I realize that if you're an Airbnb host, you're a full-fledged entrepreneur. You're a business owner. No less than, you know, Brian Chesky at Airbnb. The only difference is you're the head of marketing because you have to make sure your listing is prime. You got to get it in front of people. You got to make sure people who are going to your listing click on it. Your customer service, you're dealing with the banks, not only the guests, but the banks, you're dealing with Airbnb. You got to find a good cleaner. You're the hiring department. You're the HR department. You're the finance department. So you're running a company and it's impressive to say the least. So to pile on that, but think you're also the head of R&D, research and development. If you really want to get ahead, you got to think about how you can improve your listing. I say that because the last Airbnb I was at in Barranquilla, Colombia, the host had one knife, and knives go dull every now, you know, after a while, but they don't go dull too often. And this host had a knife that was so dull, he must not have changed it in 2 years. And so you have to make these investments. They're not costs. You have to make these investments too. You know, you got to get a new pillow every now and then.
Yes.
You
got
the shower head at my current Airbnb. It kind of like dribbles water. It's a very nice Airbnb, but it hasn't been changed for must be years with all the calcium deposits in there. So think of ways. You don't have to do it do it once every quarter. Think of one way you can improve your guest experience. And you'll never have that slow season. You'll never reach out to me and say, hey, you know, when I signed up 5 months ago, I was doing great. Now I'm not doing great. That's because you haven't made any changes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Also, I also want to tell our listeners too, if you stay at an Airbnb and there is something a host can improve on, let them know in the messaging, in that private feedback with the review. I just had a guest tell me today, actually, that my blow dryer is only blowing cold air. You know, I have an extensive audit list, but checking the blow dryer actually is not one of them. So I thanked her. Like, I would not have known to replace that unless you would have told me. So hosts want to know what they can improve on too. So to not, you know, feel nervous about that.
Yeah. And in the reviews, how I do my reviews nowadays is if the host can fix it, or if I think the host can fix it, I'll give them private feedback. But if it's just something that's not fixable, let's say, you know, you're on top of a bar that, you know, stays open till 2 a.m. on the weekends, that's not really fixable. I'm going to mention that in the review just for information purposes for other people. Some people like that. Some people want to be right in the thick of things. They don't care. They don't go to sleep till 5 a.m. anyways. So that's how I do reviews. That's how I recommend you do reviews as guests and as hosts as well. Just be honest.
Danny, I can't thank you enough for your time and your expertise and all of the good stuff. What is your favorite way of people getting in contact with you? Where should our listeners go if they want to seek you out?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that. So the best way to get in touch with me, usually people get in touch with me because they have either they're thanking me for writing the book. And if you want to do that, thank you. Please do that in a review. That is the best way to thank me for that. They do matter, just like your reviews as an Airbnb host. And a lot of other people have questions and whatnot. Well, usually I've written it. So I'll preface it by saying I'm a one-man show here. I have a little bit of help, but I'm a one-man show. So I have a chat on my website, bottom right blue button. You can click to get in touch directly with me. But there's only so many I can respond to at this point. So the best way is I've written about pretty much everything. So I just added a search function on my blog. Give it a little search, read that article. If you can't find your answer or you just don't want to read, I would much prefer you post a comment to the individual blog post or YouTube video, and I will respond to that rather than going through my chat or definitely emails.
All right, listeners, this check out Danny, check out his book, check out his new blog, but really listen to what he said today. Take it to heart, take it to your listing. I know I need to start responding to reviews. I learned something, but I wanted to be honest with everybody.
Hey, we learn something new every day. I don't care. You know, I had the best general manager at the last hotel I worked at, and that was his favorite thing when he was like, "Sarah, I learned something new today." And it was just meant a lot to me because I just held him in such high regard. So we're always learning. So Danny, thank you so much for your time. Listeners, we cannot wait for you to come back next week where we will have another amazing episode jam-packed full of information and inspiration. I am Sarah.
And I'm Annette. And we are
Thanks for visiting.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products. From hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers, we've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.